Good morning. Are you glad you're here today? Well, about three of you are. All right. Are you glad you're here today? Good. Well, we're glad you're here today as well. Happy Father's Day. So we should have all of the fathers stand. Just go ahead and stand right now. All of the fathers that are here today. Good
somehow
deal.
We do.
Good deal. What's that?
Somehow we do it.
We do it. Right, exactly. All right, let's give them a round of applause, shall we? All right. You can be seated. Well, if you are a guest with us this morning, thank you so much for choosing to come and worship with us, and we are so glad that you are here. And hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate, or just leave it at the information table out in the foyer, that would be so helpful to us. And hopefully everybody who came in got a bulletin this morning. Did you all get a bulletin? If not, please make sure that you get one. And so let's open it up and let's kind of take a look at some of the things that we need to know about. There's no church family dinner today. Okay? That was last week, right? Okay? So no church family dinner today. Today is Father's Day. Okay? So hopefully you can enjoy dinner sometime today with the father in your life and be able to enjoy that. Tuesday night, we have a leadership team meeting here at church. This is not a misprint. Okay, we are having a separate meeting. We had our leadership team meeting a couple weeks ago. We're having our another leadership team meeting this Tuesday night. So men, I hope that you will have that on your calendar. Next Sunday, we will be observing communion, and we will also be receiving an offering for the Benevolent Fund, and you'll see lots of other details in the bulletin that you need to draw your attention to. So not going to take the time to go over those, but that's why it's important for you to be able to have a bulletin. All right, well, today is Father's Day, and so we want to honor some fathers. So I thought that it would be good if we started with fathers who had a recent graduate from either college or high school. And so very, very recent. Okay? So I know, come on up, Joe. So Joe's daughter, Anna, just graduated from high school. I think we honored her last Sunday, if my rememberer is working today. All right? So congratulations. And Brian Ritchie, we celebrated his daughter graduating from college. And so we're just so excited to be able to do that.
And my daughter got her master's degree awarded yesterday.
Well, that's good. Well, you know what? All right, Dave. There you go, Dave. All right. So let's see. Let's do the oldest father present. What do you think? Okay. So if you are in your 60s or above, stand up. 60s and above, stand up. I'm standing. Okay. I don't want to stand alone. Dave's standing. Okay. All right. Okay. If you're in your 70s, keep standing. So that means if you're in your 60s, you can sit down. Okay. All right. If you're in your 80s, keep standing. There we go. Whoa. Wow. If you're in your 90s, keep standing. No, guys, stay standing. Okay. All right. Stay standing. Okay. All right. What's that? Okay. All right. So let's see. Bob, how old are you? Okay. Paul, how old are you? 12 times what? Yeah, okay. You're 80? Less? 80? Don? Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, you know what? I got three guys standing. I got three left. So let's give all of them a round of applause. Les just had a birthday, so he just made the cut. Exactly. All right. Well, you know what? I think it would be great if we just had a moment of prayer for all of the men in our church, because not only on Father's Day do we like to honor our dads, but we like to honor all of the men in our church. And by the way, out on the information table, men, in a basket, a blue basket, there are some treat bags. So please make sure that you take one. Those are for you to be able to take. One per fella, because I know some of you have sweet tooths as big as mine. So one per fella, okay? All right? So thanks for doing that. Father, we are just so grateful as a church that we get to celebrate the ladies of our church. We get to celebrate the men of our church. We just get to celebrate all that you do for our church. We thank you for the men who are a blessing to us. Father, we thank you for their example. We thank you for their faithfulness to your word. We thank you to their faithfulness of wanting to be the disciple that you desire for them to be able to be. And Father, the things that we can learn from them, because most of them, they've lived a lot longer. They've lived through a lot of different experiences. And we can learn as we just sit and listen, as we just watch them live their lives in front of you. And so, Father, I pray that you will continue to bless us with the men that you've given to us. And, Father, bring us more men that we might be able to be a blessing from them as well and a blessing to them as well. So this morning I pray that these men that have gathered here this morning will feel honored, whether it's their first time here, whether they've been coming to Lake Hazel for a long time. Father, we pray that today they feel honored. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ready to lift your voices in praise? Let's do it. Men, you need to sing extra loud today, okay? This is your day.
And
let's go, worship team.
I'll carry you. Would y'all stand with me for this first song? Sorry, Paul, you got to get up one more time, buddy.
The strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. Do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Strength will rise.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. I love that song because it reminds us about how God is everlasting. He is perfectly strong. He is perfectly sufficient. He is our defender. He is our God who lifts us up on wings like eagles. And so we praise him. We worship him.
Yeah. Let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it arise. Let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and we claim your victory. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. For fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, let faith be a song that overcomes the raging sea. Let faith be the song that calms a storm inside of me. Let it rise. Let faith arise. Yeah. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. For fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, this is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. For fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you.
Heavenly Father, we came this morning to praise you. You're the only one worthy of all praise. You're great. You're mighty. You're the best dad out there. Lord, we love you and we praise you today. We know that we can stare this world, every trial, right in the face and know that you are backing us up. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty. Through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious life, forever seated high. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again, for I believe in the name. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus, for I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, O God. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, that seeks your face. Oh God, a Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, that seeks your face. Oh God, a Jacob. So give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another.
Lord, that's our cry this morning. We would not lift our souls to any other but you. Lord, we lay down whatever idols have been plaguing us. We've given ourselves to. Lord, we love you. We came this morning to say, you're worthy of our praise, of my praise. Some of us may have come with somebody else because we had to come this morning. But Lord, in this moment, I pray that we would all say, I praise you, the God of all creation. You are worthy today of my praise. You, Lord, are the only one worthy of my praise. And so I lay down my idols before you. Lord, I worship you. I lift my soul to you. And Lord, I surrender to you alone. Lord, we love you. Ushers, don't worry about taking offering right now. We'll do that later. Let's sing this last song.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering
with me.
Drench my soul as mercy and grace unfold. I hunger and thirst
for more of you, Jesus.
I hunger and thirst. Stretch wide, I know you hear my cry. Speak to me now, speak to me now. I surrender, I surrender. I want to know. To know you more, I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more.
Lord, as we open your word, would you speak to us, Lord? Teach us your ways. We love you.
Like a rushing wind, Jesus breathes in. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Hey, like a mighty within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more.
It's kind of hard to sing a song like that without really realizing who it is we're surrendering to and what it is we have to surrender. That kind of goes along with today's message. Thank you so much, Jared. Thank you so much, worship team. I want to know you more. You see, if we surrender things out of our lives, that ought to give us more time and energy to be able to fill it with the things of God. Don't you think? I think so. Children, come on down and we'll get you sent off to Children's Church. Good job. So did you all say Happy Father's Day to your fathers already? Yeah? Got something special planned for them today? Maybe? Okay. All right. You got time to think about it. Father, we're just so grateful to be able to have been able to praise you. And Father, help us to be surrendered. Surrender to you. Surrender to your purposes and plans. Surrender to your word. And Father, in order for us to be surrendered to your word, we have to put away the distractions of today. We have to put away with those things that we might have carried with us to church this morning. Father, help us to lay them aside so that you can truly speak to us. And Father, may we hear not only with our ears, but Father, this morning may we hear with our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go ahead and have a good time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 20. And those of you that are very astute are saying, Exodus chapter 20, is that really a Father's Day message? It could be. It could be a Mother's Day message. It could be any family reunion Sunday day message, right? And I know that today is Father's Day, so don't get shook. My rememberer isn't that broken today. But on Mother's Day, we did not set aside our study of the Ten Commandments. We could have, but we didn't. And so today, I'm going to take advantage of the fact that the younger children, which is rare during our summer schedule, has been dismissed to Children's Church. Because today, we're going to deal with the Seventh Commandment, which gives us clear instruction about our purity. It gives us clear instruction about this action called adultery. Now, I will this morning promise you to be careful with my words, because I know that some people are sensitive to this subject and would be uncomfortable with this being discussed in certain places. So I will substitute the word that starts with S and ends with X with the word intimacy. Got that? Now, I'm aware that intimacy isn't just about the action that starts with S and ends with X. And I know that you're aware of that as well. But for all intents and purposes, we will stick with the word intimacy as we consider God's instruction regarding adultery. Now, let me just remind you this morning that these Ten Commandments were just the beginning of the set of laws that God had given purposely to the nation of Israel. He gave them exclusively to the children of Israel. Why? Because he wanted them to know that he had set them apart. He had set them apart for a specific purpose. He had set them apart so that they would understand how important it was for them not to follow the ways of the nations that were around them. That they were to be different. They were to live different. They were to follow a different God. They were to follow the Creator God, not just a God who was vain and useless and empty. These Ten Commandments that we've been studying individually, as we've been in a larger part studying the book of Exodus, are by no means a way for us to have salvation, to have salvation for eternal life. Salvation for eternal life comes from believing in what Jesus has done for us on the cross, believing in him as Savior. Nothing more, nothing less. But there are principles, there are things that as we've studied these Ten Commandments, and now as we come to the seventh one today, that I believe God wants us to be able to understand, that I believe that God wants us to be able to have evident in our lives. So with that in mind, I want you to imagine this morning that I'm an older man. Not hard to do. Not as old as some that we honored this morning. But that I'm an older man giving some counsel to people that I care about. My name is Solomon. And the content that I'm going to share with you for just a few moments comes from Proverbs, beginning in chapter 4. And I recommend that you read this section of God's Word for yourself, and maybe sometime soon. Listen, my children, to what I'm about to say. Pay attention and don't forsake my teaching, because what God commands leads to life. Not eternal life, but leads to a better life. Whatever you do, seek wisdom, and then guard it when you get it. Don't turn away from what you know to be true, like so many do in their teens and 20s. Two paths lie in front of you. One is the path of wisdom, and the other is the path of the wicked. Be attentive and avoid wrong choices. And the only way to do that is to keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Keep your heart tender before God and choose faithfulness, not folly. Keep an eye on your soul, because it's a slow slide. No one crumbles in a day. Your purity will be tempted, because the allure of immorality is everywhere. What may seem to be sweeter than honey will turn out to be more bitter than taking a bite out of rotten apples with worms in it. Set up some boundaries, or you will end up giving your heart away, and then your body will want to go with it. Wait for marriage, or you will become ensnared and held fast by the cords of your sin. And if you get married, hold fast to your spouse. My son, do not lust in your heart after a young woman. My daughter, don't get swept off your feet by empty promises meant to seduce you. Here's a vivid word picture to remember. Can you scoop up fire onto your lap and not be burned? Can you walk on hot coals without scorching your feet? You could boil it all down to a very simple statement. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14. Hopefully by now you found Exodus chapter 20 in your Bibles. Exodus verse 14 says, "You shall not commit adultery." Now, in order for us to understand what God is trying to say, we need to have a working definition of adultery. Adultery is an intimate relationship between a married individual with someone other than their spouse. In case you missed it, it's an intimate relationship between a married individual with someone other than their spouse. This literally reads in Hebrew, no adulterating. Now, this command is directed to every individual. The tense is second person singular, meaning each one of us individually must take it to heart. Notice that it doesn't say you shall not commit adultery except in this situation, or except in this scenario, or except in these circumstances. No, there's nothing added to it. It's you're not supposed to be involved in this action. It's stated in the strong negative, like seven of the other commands. So that tells us that adultery is an action that everyone must avoid. Now, in 1631, the King James Version was reprinted. The first version was in 1611. In 1631, the King James Version was reprinted by a London publisher. This expertly crafted edition was printed on fine paper stock imported from Sweden with high contrast ink from India and bound with exceptional Italian leather. However, this beautiful Bible had a terrible printing error. It was discovered the simple word not was omitted in Exodus 20:14, making it read, "Thou shalt commit adultery." The publishers were fined the equivalent of a lifetime's wages and stripped of their printing license. Nearly the entire print run was seized and destroyed. This became known as the Wicked Bible, and only 14 copies are known to exist today. But you know what? I think there must be a lot more copies of this Bible circulating, because so many today are living as if adultery is acceptable. In fact, research indicates that approximately 22% of husbands and 14% of wives have committed adultery. In a recent survey, 50% of all husbands and 35% of wives state that they've broken their marriage vows. It's difficult to get accurate information because most people are not honest about their immorality. Many teens, including teens that are believers, throw their spiritual reputation away just to have physical intimacy. Casual or recreational intimacy is celebrated and is on the rise in society today. We live in a time of an adultery epidemic. Now, many of you may have experienced the pain and heartbreak which comes from adultery. Maybe there was a parent or other relative that let you down, or your spouse has sinned against you in this way. Maybe you're the one who has committed adultery and you're so wrapped up with guilt and shame, you've lost your spiritual vitality. Some of you may have been more immorally abused. Several of you feel so addicted to immorality, you don't think there's any way out. My prayer today is that God's Spirit will bring healing and renew you through His Word today. So there's three things that I want us to look at this morning, coming from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14. The first thing is there's a principle. And the principle behind this seventh instruction is this: marital faithfulness. Why marital faithfulness? Because marital faithfulness is the building block of a society. Remember, God is preparing the nation of Israel to go back into the land of Canaan, where they are going to be living amongst those that are already living in the land of Canaan. And God is wanting them to understand that to His heart, in His mind, in His purpose and plans for human beings, and especially the nation of Israel, He expects them to be able to take their marital faithfulness seriously. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. Faithfulness to the covenant of marriage is the foundation of the family. When that foundation is upset, when that foundation begins to crack or to crumble, there goes the strength of the family. Now, we live in a culture which dismisses marriage as an irrelevant relic of tradition, and this isn't anything new. The people that God knew that the Israelites would be rubbing shoulders with along the way to Canaan, and once they crossed over the Jordan River and took possession of the land, repossession of the land of Canaan, the people that they were going to be rubbing shoulders with, they had no clue. They had no idea. They didn't really care about marital faithfulness. The spirit of our times has vigorously sought to dilute the sanctity of marriage through disregard, disrespect, and redefinition. Genesis makes it clear that marriage is God's plan, in that a man and a woman are to be joined together as one in a permanent relationship. Many of you know this. We don't have to go back and look at the verses. We don't have to go back and rehearse that. We know that that was what God designed. We know that's what God put in place. We know that's how God ordered it, that a man and a woman are to be joined together as one in a permanent relationship during a lifetime here on earth. So the essence of marriage, as we go back to Genesis, can be found in these three words: leaving, cleaving, weaving. But we could add a fourth word that demonstrates what happens when adultery enters into the picture: grieving. Marriage has been designed by God to be a permanent bond. One man with one woman coming together in a promise-giving celebration, promising before God and others to live together faithfully as husband and wife for life here on earth. The Bible is filled with truth that instructs us of the value of marriage and the importance of keeping our marriage promises to one another. Not just in the Old Testament. Listen to what the New Testament says. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Let marriage be held in honor among all. When we follow the instruction given by God regarding adultery, we will guard the integrity of marriage because it is a safety net against immorality. Any intimate expression outside the boundary of a marital relationship of one man and one woman is a sin against God. And God's best gifts, marriage and intimacy, are the ones most likely to be twisted and perverted by the world and the devil. God drew a boundary line around the purpose of marriage as he gave this instruction to the nation of Israel, and as he gives it to us, as it's been recorded in his word. And he says it this way: do not intimately take someone to yourself who does not belong to you through marriage. And once entering into the promise of marriage, do not give yourself to anyone other than your spouse. Now, if you don't like that, you take it up with God, because that's his words. That's his instruction. Not only is there a principle, but there's a prescription. And the prescription is pretty simple. If we don't set up biblical boundaries, we will cheat on our spouse. And this prescription applies to singles as well. Be faithful to your spouse before and after you marry. Be faithful to your spouse. Now, you might be saying, well, wait a minute, Pastor. I have no idea who I'm going to marry. I'm not even thinking about that. Good. You can still determine that when God brings that special person into your life, that you will be faithful until marriage. You will be faithful to your spouse before and after. Because remember, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you may want to pay. Another part of the prescription is to run from immorality. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, it says, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. That's what Joseph did when Potiphar's wife tried to get him to commit immorality. He stood firm on the importance of marriage promises and ran far away from the temptation. On the other hand, David ran towards sin when he committed immorality with Bathsheba. His desire for immorality led him into adultery. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 27, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. When we don't follow what it is that he has said in his word that we're to do, when we don't follow the example that he has given to us, when we don't follow the clear instruction, it displeases him. Write this down. Any step away from your spouse is a step toward adultery. any step. And that step could come in a whole lot of different forms. And I think you're all intelligent enough that I don't have to spell it all out. Protect your marriage by practicing purity. Guard your heart. Guard your heart and your eyes, because it's the second glance that ties your hands. Guard your heart and your eyes, because it's the second glance that ties your hands. Not only is there a principle, not only is there a prescription, but there's a path. Many of us wonder what God's will is for our lives. Remember this, God's will for you is wrapped up in your purity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5 says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his or her own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God." There's a path. What's the path? Abstaining. Abstaining. Not stepping away, not disobeying what God has given to us in his word. Now, adultery, most often, is a secret and dishonest action because no one wants others to know that they are choosing immoral behavior. Maybe you're here today and you know that you're starting to compromise, or maybe you've already crossed the line. It's time to come clean before God. If you're involved in immoral behavior, it's time to stop. If you're in an unrighteous relationship, it's time to stop. If you're flirting with immorality, it's time to flee. God used the prophet to get David back where he needed to be spiritually. Perhaps this message today has done the same thing for you. God wants to forgive more than sometimes we want to be forgiven. And you know the beauty? We don't have to bargain with him. We don't have to bribe him by promising to do a bunch of good things. And we don't have to do penance for the bad things we've done. So then what is it that we need to do? All we have to do is agree with him that sin has come to be a part of our lives, that we've disobeyed his word, that we've missed his mark of righteousness regarding this area of purity. We can accept his forgiveness and with his help move forward towards spiritual maturity. Hopefully this morning we've learned some things. We've learned to protect our spiritual reputation by practicing purity. Determining, even if we're not married, even if that seems like a long way off, determining that as we continue to grow, as we continue to mature, we are going to practice purity. If we've crossed the line, if we've moved into this action that God says is not to be for us, because we are his children, and we're his children because we believe in him as Savior. There's a path. There's a path back to him. Don't stay on the wrong path. Turn around. Get on the right path. And you can do that. You can do that this morning in the quietness of your heart. You don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to meet with the pastor in his office. You can just acknowledge before God that, you know what? You've crossed the line. You know what? You've let this sin take control of your life, and you're on the road, or you've already been on that road of no longer practicing purity. Protect your marriage by practicing purity. It's not too late. If you've broken that, it's not too late to get that back. And then live a holy life by practicing purity. Let me leave with this with you. Let's be careful not to sing "My Jesus, I Love Thee" and then be guilty of not just marital adultery, but spiritual adultery by giving in to the schemes and temptation of Satan and the world. Guard your heart. Father, I pray that you will help us to be able to take what it is that you have taught us this morning and to be able to put it into practice into our lives. Father, you take our purity seriously. Father, you've given that to us as a gift. Father, whether we be a young person this morning and marriage seems so far off, or Father, whether we're married today, Father, help us to be able to live in that purity. Father, because to step outside of that purity displeases you. Father, and if we've been living in a way that has been bringing displeasure to you, help us to be able to turn around. Help us to be able to acknowledge to you that sin has entered into our life and into our heart. Father, help us to graciously accept your wonderful forgiveness. And Father, help us to now move towards growing spiritually in you, being the disciples of yours that you desire each and every one of us who know you as Savior to be. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song?
My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, is now I love. my Jesus, dear.